football on Off the Ball.
If someone has a song that referenced Sheffield or Hillsborough about Liverpool crying, we'd be up in arms.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
LOI Late Night on Off the Ball is brought to you by Rockshore 00. Refreshingly alcohol free.
Always be drink aware. Get the facts and visit drinkaware.ie.
Okay, but I've no idea what we're going to talk about. Good evening, everybody. Welcome along to League of Ireland Late Night on Off the Ball in partnership with Rockshore 00, the refreshingly alcohol-free Rockshore 00, a league of our own. Get the fact, be drink aware, visit drinkaware.ie. I'm Cameron Hill, and it is so great to have you along with us this evening on Leaving Cert Results Night. So I'm delighted to say the top of his class, Shane Keegan, is here.
Hope on top of this class, because I certainly wasn't top of my Leaving Cert class, that's for sure.
Oh no, have you an inspirational story of how your Leaving Cert results don't dictate your life, or should we just skip over it? I'll take the no comment as a, yeah, let's move on. Barry Murphy is also standing by. How are you, Barry?
Yeah, not too bad.
Lots and lots to get through this evening. Lots to hear from the League of Ireland Nation. And if you want to get your League of Ireland thoughts off your chest this evening, we want to hear them. Request to speak using the mic icon in the bottom left corner there. And we'll get to you on the line as soon as possible, because there's quite frankly so much to get through this evening, not least of which the results from tonight's game. So let's go through those very quickly. Bohemians, emphatic winners over bottom side Cork City. Douglas James Taylor scoring twice, including a peach of a goal for a 3-0 win at Daly Mount Park. St. Pat's left it very, very late before Luke Turner, fifth minute of injury time, got the winner at Drogheda United. 1-0 was how it finished at Sullivan and Lamb Park. Another late goal at Eamon Deasy Park, this time coming the way of Derry City. They scored in stoppage time through Adam O'Reilly to win 2-1 at Galway United. And Sligo Rovers came from a goal down against Waterford to beat them 2-1 at the RSC. First Division, you have Cove Ramblers and UCD playing out a 2-2 draw. Finn Harps were 2-1 winners over Athlone Town. Kerry were 1-0 winners over Longford Town. Dundalk were 7-0 winners away to Treaty United this evening. And Bray Wanderers come away from Wexford with a 1-0 win. Baz, what took your fancy tonight?
I was watching Pats and Drogheda for all my sins, keeping an eye on Bowes as well. But the main focus was on Pats and Drogheda, even though obviously the last three games were nil all games and looked like it was heading that way as well until the last minute. And I just think Kevin will be disgusted the way they conceded that goal. Did you see the Denison throw out to see the corner in the last minute? And that's the life of the goalkeeper, isn't it? The hero last week and the villain this week, and it's cost them dearly because Pats are breathing right down their neck now for those European places.
Yeah, yeah. Everyone else seems to be breathing down our necks tonight, because there's plenty of people already trying to get their calls in very early before we get to Shane Keegan's thoughts for the evening. Let's go to Marty. And you are very welcome along to LOI Late Night. Marty, Derry City fan, how are things?
Thanks, Cameron. Yeah, I'm doing very well. Just heading out of Galway now with the 3 points, so delighted, as you'd imagine.
Yeah, for people who might have missed this game, can you kind of take us through the 90 minutes?
Yeah, look, I think Derry were pretty poor, as were Galway. Wasn't a whole lot to talk about in the game. Galway took the lead. Very poor goal from Derry, I think. It was just a short corner, I think. Walked across to a man who was totally free. And a great finish by the guy, in fairness. And again, Derry just huffed and puffed, and we did find an equaliser. Towards the end of the second half, a very good striker's finish by Debo, who does look a great player. And second half was very, very dull. In fairness, Galway should have took the lead. Stephen Hickey missed an absolute sitter, and kind of game was very dull. Jamie Stott then picked up a second yellow card, and in fairness, Galway then were all over us. Should have maybe scored a winner, hit the bar and things like that, and we didn't really show much ambition to win the game, but I suppose Galway were just pushed so far forward, we ended up hitting them with a sucker punch on the end. So I can't say we were great, but it's brilliant to get the win. And I suppose there has been plenty of times this year where we might have deserved more and didn't get it. So I suppose that evens out.
Marty, I'd be bigging up that winning goal a little bit more than you've highlighted there. It's an outstanding winning goal. Like, you're right, obviously there's a bit of room to counterattack into. But I thought I'm not sure who slips Adam O'Reilly initially. But that's a brilliant, because there's like they're descending on him. It's a brilliant two ball to Adam O'Reilly. And Adam O'Reilly and Depot's 1-2 is top class. Like, it's a brilliant goal.
Yeah, look. Don't get me wrong, I couldn't really see it now, so it's hard. You know, the Galway, the viewing from the Galway away end is really poor. It's probably the worst, I think, in the league. And so I didn't see a whole lot of it. And then there was pandemonium, obviously, in the away end. So I haven't really taken it in. But yeah, I suppose I was just talking about the balance of the game. One thing I would like to mention is we're again starting games with our better defenders on the bench. So Sam Todd came on for Connolly. Hayden Cann came on at half-time for Bannon. Ronan Boyce finally got a start again after much kind of complaining from the fans, and all were absolutely immense tonight. And Taylor Lynch has kind of made this mess himself, where we're in such poor form by playing these, leaving better players on the bench. So, and Brian Maher, who hasn't been great either this season, made some outstanding saves tonight. So I'd like to give a special shout out to him as well.
Fair play. Yeah, get a look on the League of Ireland Twitter thread when you get a chance. I think it's Michael Duffy with the initial pass. I will say as well, the Galway centre half, I'm trying to figure out which one it is, doesn't cover himself in glory and coming out to meet Adam O'Reilly and then allowing Adam O'Reilly to get goal side of him. But to say it's an absolutely brilliant counter-attack goal, and it's a massive 3 points for you to go down to. You go down to 10 men, you think you'd be hanging on for the one. So to come away with all three, it really is a super result.
Absolutely, and I think anything other than 3 points here tonight, I think we're in serious bother for them European places. So we've got out of jail tonight, I think, and hopefully I can. Obviously, Pats now are coming up to Brandywell next week and are in great form, so we really, really needed that.
Yeah, like it's the one front you have to fight on now at this stage, Marty. Like, I don't want to dig up old wounds on a night of celebration, but that must have really hurt in the cup last weekend.
I did, and things got very nasty, I suppose, in the Brandywell after it. First of all, the crowd was so poor anyway to begin with. People are really turning against Tiernan Lynch, and I suppose to have any kind of savour of his own role here, he has to deliver Europe. He's got 45 points now in the league. Rory Higgins' worst season, which was last year, was 55 points. So he'd have to get those 10 points, in my opinion, at least over the next 8 games to A, like, be better than Higgins' worst season, or even the same, and B, we'll need at least that, I think, to get into Europe, because Shells and Hats are coming in hard now, so we're going to really have to pick up our act. And again, losing next week, I think we'll be in serious bother. So I would say for Tiernan, I don't like his football. I don't like the way he goes on. I won't get into it now, personally, but I'm not going to call it from the go. He has a chance now to get into Europe. Third or second is minimum expectation, in my opinion. So he can go and do that now. We have to let him. We have to support the team to get over that line, and then we'll look at it then. But he has to get into Europe, in my opinion.
Marty, you spoke about your remaining games. Like, just to emphasise how important those 3 points were tonight. Like, your next 4 games are all against teams pretty much bang on in and around you, either slightly above you or trying to hunt you down for those European places. Pats, followed by Bows, followed by Shells, followed by Drogheda. Like, it just emphasises, like you said already, if you'd got one rather than three tonight, you were in trouble probably.
Absolutely, and I think Pats, in fairness, like, because they play good football, it kind of suits us, because we want to sit back on that back seven that we have and hit lads on the break. So Pats will kind of suit us, I have to say, like, you know, even at the Brandywell. And Drogheda, I suppose, is the one you'd worry about, because they do a better version of what we're trying to do, if you know what I mean. They showed it last week. So that's vital tonight, and on to the next one, I suppose. Just before I go, I want to ask, where's Johnny Ward gone tonight? He must be hiding under the bed, isn't he?
Yeah, I think he knew I'd do that leaving cert intro at the start and decided he'd give that one a miss. That's what happened there.
Yeah.
Marty, it's been great having you on. Best of luck. Safe travels on the road now.
Thanks a million, guys.
Sit out.
Let's go from one jubilant fan base to another here, because Anthony Kiernan is standing by after a pretty emphatic result against Cork, which in one way is expected, Anthony, because they are the bottom side in the league, even though they are resurgent. But with how the league form has been and that cup exit, it could have been one of those tricky games for Bowes tonight.
Yeah, hi, Cameron. Hi, lads. Yeah, I loved the leaving cert intro there. Bowes, very similar to Marty there. Like, we're in the same boat as Derry in certain aspects of that, because it's a tricky game tonight because you're expected to go out at home and win after a really, really rocky few weeks. And thought Bowes were excellent tonight. I thought it was just work rate. From the front to the back was really, really good. They created 10 chances in the first half, and you're going to yourself at halftime, this is set up for a smashing grab again. How many times have we murdered teams and then had did Alex Nolan on the bench, a couple of boys on the bench there, Cork, and they were just they weren't great tonight. It was the worst Cork team I've seen this year, and by a long shot. But you were still saying, look, football is football. There you go. They're going to have a spell in the game. They're going to get back in. And in fairness, Bowes played different tonight. They didn't have any of this inverted fullbacks into midfield, Malark. They didn't have any, so it was old school. They're missing a couple of bodies back there. Moran played centre half with young Keane Bourne. They were excellent. Jordan Flores was immense. I think he won every single header on that whole area of the pitch. It was just a different performance from Bowes tonight. They knew they needed to ground it out. 3-0. It didn't flatter Bowes, but it made it look way more comfortable than it was. Like, we only tagged them two goals on at the end. Douglas James Taylor was excellent. I don't know if any of you have seen the game.
Yeah, he was brilliant, Anthony, wasn't he? He just pinned in those two centre-halves, the proper number nine performance up there. And you're saying, you were right in what you're saying. It was back to front fairly quickly. Dawson Devoy and Tierney were excellent in there as well, weren't they? And but for Conor Brand, he must have made 10 saves in that first half. It could have been 6 or 7 at half time.
He did. He made some unbelievable saves. Yeah. If you were behind him, you're going, like, that's what you're holding your hopes on when you're in where Cork are. You're just saying, like, keep or save me here, and then we might get a chance somewhere. And Seanie McGuire done well as well. Seanie McGuire was a handful, and he was kind of doing it on his own. Maybe their left side were decent as well. There's a young lad there, he's only come up through the academy. He didn't put a foot wrong either. But that's how you, like, when you're down the bottom, that's how you get them sort of results. You stay in the game by your keeper. He made one unbelievable save in the end of the first half, or maybe the start of the second half, with Dale Rooney hit a kind of point blank, and he just tipped it onto the crossbar. It's unbelievable. So yeah, a lot of credit goes to that. But Bowes, I suppose, stuck at it, and they could have wilted. And I was kind of screaming for changes after 65-70 minutes. He brought Reece Brennan on, which did help, and then he brought a couple of changes on. But yeah, look, job done for Bowes. That was nearly what's expected. Like, do you know what I mean? But yeah, you still have to get it done. Now you're 8 games there, same as Derry, you're 8 games. It turns into a little bit of a mini league, and Rovers have a lot of saying, although we're all saying Rovers have the League One, and they probably do, they're going to play Pats, Shells, Bowes, all in the next couple of weeks, Derry City. And everybody that's in that group has played the teams that is below them tonight, and bar of Drogheda and Pats, but that just brings Pats into the whole fray. Like, if Drogheda beat Pats tonight, that's maybe a bridge too far for Pats, but it doesn't, brings them back into it. So although we're saying there's 8 games left, there's not an awful lot of points to play for between the teams that have to play there. It's fantastic. It's brilliant. It's a brilliant watch. We probably should be bigging up that race for Europe a little bit more. But
Yeah, you're probably right. That's where it's at the moment, that race for Europe. And like, that last 5 minutes in 3 of those 4 grounds changed the whole complexion of the league in the last 5 minutes. You look at the Sligo Elding goal down in Waterford. Yeah. The Derry goal. It's going to be like that. And that's the way we want it week in, week out. Those last 5 minutes is changing hands, and it was just Bowes just had to get that job done tonight. They did it really well, I thought. As you said, they really pressed from the front, got right at them, high energy stuff, and that was enough to get it over the line.
Do you know what it was for me, Barry? The emotion was taken out of it a little bit. I don't know if you're watching it. Tierney was in there, and I'm not a big fan of him playing too far back, but he was in there, he was snapping in, he was sacking the ball really early, and there was kind of a lot of fouls on the ball, and a lot of decisions doesn't go their way when the game's not running for them, and there's no emotion, they're just straight back at it, it's a straight face, and it's back into position, and it's like, yeah, we're even at the final whistle, there's three or four players there, and watching them, Dale Rooney, Keith Buckley, probably Tierney because he had no energy left, but there's no emotion. They're not jumping around the place. They're going, yeah, although it's job done, we're looking to the next week. And that filled me with a little bit more confidence because we're great at playing football and we're a great in and out team. We love minding the ball and it can be all just a little bit too pretty at times. But tonight it was different. Tonight it was emotion was over and it was kind of Douglas James Taylor. I don't think he moved from the width of the goalposts. Did anyone see him go out down the channels a lot of the time?
That second goal, Anthony, is some strike.
Yeah. Do you know what? I've seen a lot of good strikers in Daily Mount over the years, but it reminded me of Glenn Crowe. But even his force finish, just playing off the shoulder, not getting bogged down if he misses a chance, just keep on going, and just it's setting the body and it's one touch in the back of the net sort of job. It's not battering the goal out of it. It looks a little bit more like a finished product over the years when we've sold strikers, the Promise on Mishiras, the likes of these guys, but just looked a little bit more finished product tonight, like a little bit more for the team he was working. So I don't know, maybe I'm looking at it through Bowes tinted glasses here, but I'm happy with the different performance and the different way of winning tonight for Bowes. That doesn't necessarily mean that Europe is there yet. But it's not a bad start to the last round of games, I suppose.
No, not at all. Anthony, you've summed it up very nicely there. And I think, yeah, you're right in saying that the race for Europe is probably the one to watch. Thank you so much for jumping on this evening.
No bother, lads.
Speaking, actually, maybe not, because the relegation battle and the battle for survival, I suppose, and not having to play that playoff, has really heated up with Saiga Rovers winning in Waterford and Galway suffering that defeat. I think we have a Galway United fan on the line here. Podge is standing by. Good evening, Podge. How are you?
How are you, lads? How's things?
Not too bad. Not too bad. I suspect better than how things are with you, because when Jimmy Keohane gets that goal, curling effort on the turn, you're thinking, oh, this could be a really good night for Galway, with President Higgins watching from the box. I'm sure that's probably where Johnny Ward is in the Tribes Bar with Uachtaráin Éireann, but it kind of went south even after Derry went down to 10 men.
Not even mountains south of Wedge. I'm not really sure what the question is, but I'm going to make a point and hopefully it can cure from this. Like, in teams, winning breeds winning breeds winning. You see that in so many teams that go on to win things in any sport. And Galway did it for so long that even at the start of the season, like, they were pulling out games, even the past game a couple months ago. That chance that Hickey had about 60 minutes in, that header from 2 yards out, like, is there a question of lack of confidence there within the whole unit? Because, like, you don't miss those kind of chances at a game that's 1-1. When you have the momentum, we pushed on. We had a good few chances. Darren McGuinness came on. Darren's a good player as well. He's choked himself around the place. Malcolm Shaw, who came in from Cameroon. He came in from how far in anyways. And Darren McGuinness has totally taken him out of the picture. A young lad, Matt Lowe. It can down for Ben Harris. Like, there's a chance there where Jimmy Grant cuts in. Brian Maher has a great save. With about 10 minutes to go, we go a man up after sending off for two yellows. And they go take a lead for 2-1. Bruder smacks crossbar in the last minute and a half. I'm not sure, Shane, you might be able to bump in on this, but like in a culture where winning breeds winning, is converse where losing breeds losing in a, let's say, high performance environment like that. And I'm not going to say that, like, I like John Cofield. Great man, done great things for club and everything like that. I'm no way even entertaining that idea. But is there a question that needs to be asked at some stage where is there a lack of confidence? Like, Jimmy's walked in this evening. He's like last year when himself and Greg came in, the level stepped up a bit. He's like a new signing for us now. He's coming back from injury. Hickey's had to come in as well. He's an option to knock a ball up there and take it down. Like, we actually looked very well for the first 35 minutes tonight and a good 30 to 40 minutes in the second half as well. I'm not sure where I'm going with this. Let's say, am I looking more to 26 than this evening? But Jesus, that's not a game that Galway United should be losing, I would think.
Yeah, look. Yeah, on the bit you threw at me, like, there's no doubt, like, momentum is one of the biggest factors in sport. There is absolutely no doubt about it. You know, you can go through a period of time where you've had a couple of positive results, and when you find yourself in the trenches, there's just a kind of inbuilt belief within the team that we've been getting this done recently. We know how to get it done. We're going to get it done again. And it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. And absolutely, it works the other way around as well, Podge. There's no doubt about it. When you're drained of confidence, you know, it just seems like every little refereeing decision, every little element of luck, you're after, I didn't see the Hickey miss, but you're talking about, you know, tiny moments where, like, I don't know how much you were into this, Baz, but you hear people talking about self-talk and all of that and you know, the power of self-talk and keeping self-talk positive. But when things are going against you, your self-talk inevitably does start to become, oh, fuck it, not again, is the way you start to take it. It starts to build up inside your head. And look, for a long, long time, he had it the exact opposite. He just seemed to know how to get a win, even in games where he were second best, where now I'm sure it feels the exact opposite. The exact opposite at the moment. I threw up, Cameron, when I just saw the change in fixtures come out there during the week. And obviously, when I looked at the Galway game that would have been due to be played the FAI Cup weekend, it was actually against Sligo. And I was looking and going,
Sligo's home, yeah.
There's a massive game that's after been moved now because of the FAI Cup. And I just threw it up on Twitter for the crack, one of the polls, and I just threw it at both Galway and Sligo fans. I said, if you had to choose between one of these two scenarios, which would you go for? And I said, would you choose to finish ninth, be in the relegation playoff, but also be in the FAI Cup final? Or would you choose to finish eighth, but have no FAI Cup final? And it basically came out two-thirds, one-third in favour of taking a relegation playoff to be in a cup final. But I got the sense, Podge, that the two-thirds who were voting for that scenario were Galway fans, whereas the one-third who were voting that they'd take finishing eight and no cup final seemed to be the Sligo fans. Like, I what, is it a point between you now?
No, I think the gap is a bit more than that. I was just had Virgin Media on here. I think it's
a point. It's a point, yes. Sligo and Galway is a point, yeah.
A point, yeah. Yeah, I'm sorry to tell you, Podge.
It's only four to Waterford ahead of them, so like it is so tight.
Okay, yeah. Right. But like in saying that, you're putting up a poll, like you're swapping the fixtures, let's say for eighth and ninth. There was a time back, was the May back, the Bank Holiday Monday, at halftime against Bulls, Galway were top of the league, Sligo were bottom, and John Russell was getting sacked. A handful of weeks ago, that's only three months ago, maybe a bit more, where Galway were on top of the league at halftime, leading against Bulls, Sligo were bottom, and look where we are now.
But I think you could probably say that about three or four managers throughout this season. You look at Tiernan Lynch, the last couple of weeks has been under pressure, and at Rennie, at Bowes, Waterford as well. There's been so many that's been under pressure. It's such a tight league this year, but yeah, I don't know. Like, I do think if it does come down to a playoff, like, I do think you've got enough to get out of it. But you just look at it, you talk about mentality and losing games, and whoever does come second bottom, like, that mentality of losing games week after week, and you've got a team coming up from the other end who are winning games going into that playoff, I've been there with Rovers in 2005 playing Dublin City. Like, it doesn't go against you, and that was two-legged affair. This is one, and you know, you just don't want to be in that situation. So it is all about just getting out of it.
And like 2 years ago, that Cork and Waterford game that took a lot of people by surprise as well, and like it's just a flip like that. So yeah, I don't think we're gonna have any fingernails left for the next couple of weeks, but we'll see how it goes. Anyways, it's okay. We have an international break to look forward to in a couple of weeks against Hungary. So, onwards and
onwards and sidewards, I think is the way to put it, Podge. Thanks a million for jumping on, mate.
Cheers, boys. Thanks.
I would say, lads, you could have given him a little bit of a sliver of hope by not telling him how narrow the gap was. All I'll say is a job for the Samaritans is probably not awaiting you at some point in the future.
I must say, I never got a chance to say it to him there. I do love his byline on his profile. Pep Guardiola never won the League of Ireland First Division. I'd say they could actually be words that came out of my mouth when I was trying to claim that it was better than a once upon a time, maybe, Cameron.
When you were targeting a youngster from Athlone Town who chose Man City in the end. Just on the point before we get another caller, Shane, just like how Podge described Galway there and what's going on. I mean, in many ways, it reflects what might have been going through Bohemians players' minds towards the end of last season. They were in eighth for a long time, and that whole thing on confidence, like I remember like Danny Grant, who's flying it now for Shamrock Rovers, and we will probably talk Shamrock Rovers with some of our callers later in the show. He looked like he was at such a low ebb in terms of his confidence at points last year, and just little things, moments in games that just he couldn't get right, and you could see it was really weighing on him. As a manager, how do you rectify that? What does John Caulfield have to do to sort of pull his players out of this slump?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, it's real chicken and egg stuff here, Cameron. Like, it's you have confidence because you win, but you win because you have confidence. So it's a kind of a fake it till you make it nearly approach that they have to take here. They just need to, you know, they need to work so hard on walking out there the next day, shoulders back, chest out, almost like pretend, you know, nearly, you know, trick your brain into out of this funk, like make it think that, you know, we are confident. We do believe we can get it done. We are a good side. And then if you just need that one result, probably then hopefully to change the mindset around the place. I mean, those players, like, well, I know certainly if I put myself in the manager's shoes, like you're looking and you're going, I'm just doing the maths here on it without trying to make a fool of myself. But, like, I think what? There was a four-point gap between the two sides in the 89th minute tonight. And then there's two goals scored at both venues, and all of a sudden the gap is 1 point. Like that is a massive swing, essentially, in injury time across the two games. And the other thing that Galway fans and players and manager must be thinking at the moment is, like, would Owen Elding ever just fuck off? Like, he's almost single-handedly looking like he's going to relegate them at the moment, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's a tough one. I'm sure there are other teams in the league hoping very much the same, because he is in red-hot form at the moment. On that confidence point, I think Cian, who is a Cork City fan, is probably asking the same question as we were there. Good evening, Cian. How are you?
How's things? Not great.
No, it was. No. You were at a really high ebb there for a bit. I mean, getting through to the next round of the cup, you seem to be putting some results together. It looked like things were starting to turn around, but as Anthony said, and we'll have to take his word for it, or whoever was listening on the News Talk live commentary game, which was Bowes Cork City tonight, they can probably shed further light. But was it the worst Cork performance we've seen in quite some time?
Yeah, and I wouldn't say in quite some time, because we've been terrible all year, but in a couple of weeks maybe, yeah. But I think from kickoff, geez, we got up the pitch, we got in behind, John McGuire had a great chance, was saved, and then from that we just decided, oh, we're going to sit in here and leave Bowes come at us for the rest of the first half. Now Bowes played really, really well. Jordan Flores, Douglas James Taylor, Dale Rooney, they were all brilliant, but like, we're the team that needs to win, and we're sitting in for most of the game. We did have a purple patch in the second half where we thought we might score, and then that Douglas James Taylor goal came. That's and then Sligo, of course, went away and won their game. So yeah, that's all she wrote for us. I do think, and I think I said this to you last week, how bad Waterford are. I don't see Sligo being in the relegation battle. I don't see Galway being in the relegation battle. I see Waterford in the relegation battle.
Do you think you'll both overtake him? You do?
No. We're gone. We're done tonight.
Oh, sorry. I have you now. Yeah. Are the two just above you? Yeah.
Yeah, I think Sligo will finish above Galway and Waterford, but I think Waterford will finish below Galway.
Yeah. All eyes on the FAI Cup, so?
Yeah, as I said last week, first division in Europe. It can happen, but I think hopefully we, you know, obviously we'll have to be Finnair's an easy place to go. Like, you know, it's a tough draw.
Yeah, I was going to say, you might.
And that pitch is awful.
Happy enough with it, though.
Yeah, happy enough, yeah. And hopefully if we get through a home semi-final, but hopefully we'll have learned from 2 years ago when we got a home semi-final and we decided to give Pats nearly the whole St. Anne's end when we didn't have to. But again, that was another business decision as opposed to a football decision that's kind of going on at the club a lot at the moment.
Yeah, Keane, is it like, what's the angle from the support base at the moment? Is there kind of an acceptance that the manager was on a hiding to nothing, and look, there's not a lot he could have done about it given the hand he was dealt, and let's give him a chance to rebuild? Or are people, you know?
I think to be fair, when he came in, there was players brought in and he said they were the players he wanted. So, you know, I suppose he can't go hiding now behind any of that. Like, but or I think from this, we set up to get relegated to the start of the season with the who we brought in. It looks like it seems that we've Gary Buckley signed for next year when we go down, but we could have done with somebody like that this year. It's kind of pointless signing them. We're in the first division.
Like you say, you were set up to be relegated from the off. I think he spent money. Like,
these loan signings from players looking for experience from clubs in England. You know, guys like, and Freddie's done really well since Rory Feely came in. But like, Freddie Anderson, Gary Lyons at the back. Yeah. You're the keeper who you knew the keeper was leaving in the summer, more than likely. You'd another one or two left in the summer that you kind of knew were leaving in the summer. You brought in that Daniels guy up front with some sort of a stupid deal that if somebody comes in for you in the summer, you can go. Like that guy, he had no club, he had no football club, and we should have the upper hand there over him. He doesn't have a club.
Yeah, despite the team wasn't there from the start of the season. They spent money up top, but centre-halves weren't there. Greg Bulger is an Asian player, brilliant player, but he's coming to the end of his career. You knew that was going to happen.
Yeah,
you knew Keating could possibly pick up an injury. You know, it was all ifs and buts and no consistent kind of spine throughout that team at all. It just looked like you were trying to get the goals, trying to outscore other teams, and that just was never going to happen, really.
Even in the summer transfer window, like Sligo done really well in the transfer window. Like, is it McManus they were in?
Yeah.
No. Yeah.
Three players from inside the league who know the league. They weren't playing. This was big boy stuff, big boy signings. They weren't bringing unproven academy players.
And we're getting young guys on loan from Preston, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's not looking good for us at the moment, and yeah, we could be down there for a while.
Yeah.
I know I say it every week, but the club is kind of, it's gone a bit toxic with ticket prices and the owner and what have you. And even we go down, I can imagine he'll still be trying to charge 22, 23 euros in the first division. People won't show up for that, for Longford at home, or no disrespect for them type of clubs. But, you know, Cork, they're not going to turn up for 22, 23 quid today, Longford or Wexford or Finn Harps, you know.
Yeah, it's such a shame because you look at how this season was going, and I think a lot of people had Cork when the predictions started at the start of the year, Shane, that everyone was thinking, oh, they might be in this relegation fight. Could do well, but losing Rory Keating was a death knell in a huge way. Shawny Maguire being out for quite a bit of time, and then Cathal Sullivan, the latest. I mean, whatever happened, whenever did the first division party end up with a mirror-breaking bender? Because it seems like, as well as just maybe poor mismanagement and some unfortunate results, Cork have had not a great run of luck this year either.
No.
I suppose they haven't, but I don't know. I just felt both times when they come up, this time and the last time they come up, be it the fan base or probably the owner the first time, and that, like, there seems to be a lot of talk about, you know, we're back up where we belong now and, you know, top half the table finish and challenge for Europe, and a lot of very unrealistic talk where you're just saying, like, your sole job here is just to try and survive in it for a season or two and then maybe try and kick on. Like, it's such a tough division, and I think, you know, they're an absolutely huge club. If I won the feckin' Euro Millions in the morning, Cameron, and I had the money and was looking to invest in one League of Ireland club, there's absolutely no doubt in my mind Cork City would be the one that I would be looking at going into. I think they've got the highest ceiling in terms of where they're at the moment and where it could be taken to. To me, they are the one that's just, you know, screaming for you know, proper structure, and I don't think it takes a whole lot to get things right there and for the club to really kick on and get back to the level that they were at, to be honest with you. And I think it would be even more exciting for Cork to get to those heights now than it was when they did, because the league was maybe, you know, the league wasn't at the heights it was at as a league back when John Caulfield had them flying, whereas at the moment they must be looking on in envy at what we saw going on last night and you know, regular European football via the conference. Cork didn't have the chance at that, you know, it didn't exist back then. They'd love to be back at that level again, and I don't think it takes a miracle. I know it seems like it takes a miracle now when you're about to head back to the first division, but I don't think it takes a miracle. Like, I think, right, go down, I don't know, you can talk about the owner and all that kind of crack, it's not ideal, but they'd also be absolutely up shit creek if the owner walked away now. So I'm not really sure, you know.
Can I just say that, Shane? So when Dermot came in, Forrest, like the fans that had the club at the time, obviously Grobmore had paid off the debt. Forrest had committed that if the fans hadn't voted Dermot Usher in, Forrest could have kept us as a kind of an up and down relegation side and survived in the first division. Dermot's promise was that we wouldn't be that. We still are that.
Yeah.
The other thing was when Dermot came in the first season we got relegated, he had an excuse that the takeover happened so late that he didn't have time to sign players. We got promoted last August. He had all that time to get ready, and we were kind of fluffing around in February for players.
Yeah, no, listen, fair points, and it's not that I'm going on my way to defend him or anything. You would just wonder, do the club, you know, are the club happy to work off a tighter budget? Well, sure, they were there already. If they were happy to do that, they wouldn't have sold, I suppose, really. You've got your answer there already. But, I mean, you look at some of the investment in some of the other clubs, maybe elsewhere, I'm just looking and going, Jesus, if Cork... And he has put money in. It just seems to have been...
Spent it very badly.
Yeah.
Shane, if you do take over in the morning, surely a director of football is the first person you hire there. Between the management side of things and the playing staff, like that has to be. You look at all the other clubs; they all have it.
Yeah, and that's what Bucco was brought in to be when he was brought in, wasn't he? But somehow he became the manager very, very quickly.
I think Liam wanted to be manager. I think it was always a thought that, listen, I could end up being manager here. I don't know if that was the right appointment at all, but you look at back a couple of years, I think you would have got away with maybe going up and down and surviving in the Premier Division, but other teams have moved on, professionalism has moved on in all the other clubs, even the Drogheda Uniteds now are into a level now where professionalism around the club is so much better than Cork City have at the moment, that it's shown, and that's probably the difference at the moment.
Keane, when you look back at things as well, the other thing I'd probably highlight is, like, I don't think there was too many City fans kind of crying over Tim leaving, but, like, it looked as though the worst you were going to do under Tim was a relegation playoff. And I still think he might have actually got you out of that altogether, whereas, you know, things have taken a serious nosedive since he's left. I think he's probably got out of there with his reputation reasonably intact, considering what's followed.
I would have been one of the people that liked Tim Clancy. I think I would have said to you recently that Tim never had a spot in the league.
Yeah.
And I think there's more to come out in that. You know, I don't think what a lot of the stuff Tim has said to you off the wall, I don't think he's holding back on. I think there's more reasons to why he left as opposed to he was just opening in a gym.
Keane, you need to fire in a few texts between 3 and 5 tomorrow, and myself and Tim are on off the ball.
The only thing I'll say is that, geez, we've been, you talk about luck with Cork. We've been so unlucky, because like how easy is to get to a group stage now. Shelburne getting bloody Limfield twice. Like, do you know, if we were that lucky in when we were, by 2017, 2018, we'd have been flying.
Yeah, you can get Besiktas as well there, Keane, as well. It's not all for sailing. Listen, we'll leave you go. Thanks so much.
Cheers, lad.
I think, Shane, it would be terribly unfair of us, given Danny Grant was one of the scorers last night, to get his number one fan on next. We'll open the floor briefly to Irish Chancellor. Good evening, Irish Chancellor. How are you? Can hear you perfectly. The floor is yours. Give us your tribute to Danny Grant after last night.
Oh, I'll get to Danny Grant in a minute. I just want to apologise for any noises here in the back. I'm on a boat. I'm leaving Venice.
Right. Yep. Standard Friday night.
Standard Friday night for the Irish Chancellor, folks. You know, when you're big. Oh my God, Danny Grant is the best player in world football. It's simple as that, really. Yeah. Disgrace to have him on mate for the Ballon d'Or. I think that goal he scored should have won the Puskás 100 years ago. It was the best thing I've ever seen. Let me tell you, as soon as he scored the goal, I got about 10,000 Twitter notifications all asking me if I was alright, if I suffered any form of cardiac arrest, erectile dysfunction, this, that, everywhere, here and all. It was absolutely great. I celebrated that goal with champagne and the Moscow. Absolutely fantastic.
Brilliant stuff. We'll leave you get back to the boat, I suppose.
All right, yeah. Thank you, folks, for having me on for these 2 minutes.
No,
I'll have a message really quick. Just want to put this out here. To Steo Bowles, he's listening. You're all right, Wedley. All right, cheers, folks. Up the hills.
Thank you very much. Yeah, do you know what? As good as it is being with you fellas tonight, a boat in Venice wouldn't be the worst alternative tonight, I have to be honest.
a boat in Venice with Irish Chancellor, though.
yeah, that's it. It's about, do you ever see those diagrams or those memes on Twitter where it's like, would you, if you're on a plane and you had these two beside you, what, would you take it if it was going anywhere in the world? That's probably the dilemma facing most people there, but fair play, we had to get him on.
I'd say he's probably on a boat from Dublin to Holyhead. That's where he is.
and listen, to be fair, Cameron, the one thing we will say that gets lost in all that a little bit is that was super stuff out Danny Grant last night. I haven't seen the full game. I just saw the goal and how well he did for the goal, the little interplay between himself and Danny Mandreo was top class. And it's a pity we haven't had any Shamrock Rovers fans on yet, if there are any on, because I'd love to hear if anybody was at that game. What an unbelievable result. I really, really did fancy them to go there and do well. I was looking at them and Santa Cruz, and look, obviously, you know, they must be a serious side to have finished. You look at the 5 clubs that are above them in the league last year, and they're all massive names. They're the 5. You'd literally have guessed the 5 that finished in the top 5. So you're looking and going, Jesus, you know, 6 to them, they must be a serious side. But then, like, they've only just come up. You go back only a year ago. If you said Shamrock Rovers had a qualifier against a team who were in the second tier in Portuguese football in 2024, would you take that? You probably would have. You probably would have taken it if you painted like that rather than painting it as where they finished this time around. But I mean, what a result! And I don't think it was a smash and grab by any stretch either.
No, it wasn't.
No, when you look at the individual players, like you're talking about Danny Grant going forward, but he nearly had the reins on him last night. They had a young lad, Silva, on the left hand side. He's the fastest player in Europe at the moment, 40 kilometers an hour. He was tracked at, but he was on him all night. Defensively wise, and he was excellent. But the way he took his goal was superb, and Danny Mandre was excellent for that goal as well. But you look at that front three; they're more kind of a team of individuals: Silva, Vinicius, Joe Costa, and every fellow Wendell on the bench. Didn't start him last night, but they didn't really threaten Rovers at all. Like Rovers did so well, and you just look at how Rovers have been in the evolution of that team in Europe in the last couple of years, and they just know how to win games, or at least not lose them away from home. And the last couple of away results over there have given them a real chance going into that second leg. And listen, you looked at it last night thinking they've got a really good chance, but to come away with a 2-1 win and set it up for it's going to be a cracking night now on Thursday, and you just feel it's obviously their advantage to go and take now.
Well, not to be the chief of wet blanketry here, Barry, but I suppose like it was such an incredible night for League of Ireland clubs in Europe last night, and that was reflected in just the outpouring of just jubilation and euphoria with some of the clips. And there was a great clip, in fairness, from the game of the Shamrock Rovers fans serenading Stephen Bradley with "There's Only One Josh Bradley" after the brilliant news around Josh being cancer-free this week. It was really great to see. But at the same time, like, it's not done yet. You know,
Santa Clara was
waiting in the long grass. I don't think Linfield, even though Shells looked the better team last night by a good distance, like, Linfield still got a draw against them up in Windsor Park last time out. They could turn that game around. It's not beyond the realms of possibility. Are we maybe counting our chickens just a bit too early here?
It was a brilliant night, but the big night is next Thursday. Come 10 o'clock next Thursday, that's where you count your chickens. But like, I just think Linfield, by that sending off, they were a lot closer this time around than they were, whatever it was, 7 games ago. They played 7 games, four tough enough games in Europe, and you just felt like they were much more in the game last night. And obviously, a little bit of luck on every occasion went against them. I felt it was a definite red card anyway, but Paddy Barrett has got away with one there, the yellow card for the penalty. But you just feel, had they kept it to 2-1, you've got a really good chance at win back in Windsor Park. But I just think there's too much. I can't see Shells not scoring up there. And Santa Clara, I think they looked despondent on the pitch last night. The fans weren't happy with the results. The manager is under a little bit of pressure now, but they've got such individual quality on that pitch that that's by no means done either. And right now, Rovers coming back on a charter flight with fans last night, I'm sure that Steam would be in tempering expectations and celebrations coming back on that flight as well, because it's definitely far from Rover. And Rovers have, over the last couple of years, have actually performed better when going into the second leg behind. So against Molde last year, they went in with a league and gave that up. So it's definitely not over yet.
No, it certainly isn't. All right, we are approaching not oodles of time left. Let's go to Aidan, who's been patiently waiting. You're a Derry City fan, Aidan. Good evening.
All right, lads, how's it going?
Not too bad. We kind of got the picture from Marty earlier around this game. What was your assessment of it?
Yeah, well, I did miss like the first 15 minutes or so, but it was definitely I definitely thought it was a bit more of a smash and grab. So it was sort of a performance, but I'm delighted with a one, considering like there's not really been many games this year when we've gone behind, you know, where we've actually came back and won a game, never mind being down to 10 men.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably justification or just desserts that you managed to get a win, maybe, against the run of play. Maybe a draw was the fair result tonight, but given how last week went in the Brandywell and the goal being chalked off, I think you probably deserved a bit of luck.
Yeah, well, when you think about that, yeah, sort of, but it was well needed. You could see after of the celebration with the players, you know, how much it was needed. Like, that's our first League One since Waterford when it was the 7-2, which feels like a lifetime away, so it does. Because back then we were on a decent run, and then ever since then we've made a lot of changes to the squad, which I don't, you know, well, I know a lot of their fans don't agree with mainly in the defence and stuff, but just because, like, back at the season when we were sort of doing well before the transfer window, then we started making a hell of a lot of changes at the back, where like I was a big critic last year of, as you might remember, of Sam Todd, but this year he's been absolutely brilliant, and I think it's been pure unfair the way of some players been getting dropped in the likes of playing Adam. I think playing Adam O'Reilly at right back is absolute criminal.
Yeah, it was great to see him actually score tonight, wasn't it? And yeah, he's been playing that right wing back role. But how much of a difference was, or a kind of upheaval, was that Kevin Holt leaving? Like, you look at the results before that, 5 wins in a row, 4 with the same starting 11, and since then it seemed to kind of fall apart.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. So, like I feel like, you know, like with Kevin Holt there, he brought a lot of experience and he was making, you know, just the organization that he would have brought that to back, and he was making Mark Conley, you know, a lot better and stuff like that there. And I knew straight away, so, like as soon as he's gone, I just had a bad feeling that it was going to like unsettle a bit, especially in the defense. And then now, ever since then, like we had a settled defense from the start of the season when you had Can, Holt and Todd and Boyce, all them players. And then now all of a sudden he's chopped and changed and brought three new signings, and then they've been starting every week, Bannon, Stott and Fleming. Like, to be fair, Fleming's been brilliant. I've really liked him, but I just think it's too many changes, especially at the back, for, you know, in the middle of a season to be experimenting. I think it's too many changes.
Aidan, how confident would you be of you securing a top three place?
Well, at the minute, I'm not, you know, of course, totally confident, but after tonight, they have a little bit more optimism. But I think next week's massive, I think, against we're home day St. Pat's. So it is.
And actually, we haven't had a show, Aidan, since we haven't had a show. You obviously played on the Saturday night, was it? Last weekend, I'm trying to think back. Wasn't it the cup game?
Aye.
Talk to me about your feelings around that one. Obviously, the penalty taken needs a bit of practice.
Oh, I know. To be fair, the penalties obviously were shocking. It's not often that you see three missed penalties, especially your first three. But I was saying, like, during the game, I was even sending a few texts to Mitz. I was like, if this goes to penalties, I know Dennison and Nets, he's very good at them. But I don't know. It was just, like, you always do have a lot of a ball against Drogheda. That's the way they play. They allow you to come at them and stuff. So it's not really to say, oh, you know, you're better or whatever. It's what you do on the ball. But I don't know about yous, but I thought that Conley goal for the disallow was shocking. I didn't think there was anything wrong with it.
No, I agree with you. I don't know what they're trying to make out now as a foul on Dennison, but I think he got it totally wrong. I think it's a goal all day for me. He's got to be much stronger there, Dennison. He's just got blocked.
Nothing wrong with it.
Yeah, completely got caught underneath it and got away with one there. I think the referees bailed him out because there's absolutely nothing wrong with it for me.
Yeah, like it was worse or on. I thought if it was anything, it was Conley and Keeley, but sure, they were both doing the same thing, and Conley just got the better of him, and Keeley didn't even argue with it.
Yeah, I think penalties definitely need work, but by the sounds of things, Aidan, you're not going to have to worry about that for the rest of the year, so we'll let you go. Best of luck.
No worries, lads.
Cheers. Speaking of penalties, I think maybe Meepo Adebeko was watching the Derry penalties based on his own last night.
Jeez, they're coming after everyone tonight, Hammond.
I'm taking no prisoners. Speaking of, Shane Kennedy is here. Good evening, Shane.
Yeah, all right, lad. Cameron, sorry, I was trying to get in there later on, but
I know. I thought you'd hang on and then you left. I thought, oh no, have I missed my chance? But we got there in the end.
If any Shell fan wants to jump on any week, which I've been wrestling there myself in the Tree Arena, so I thought I'd jump on before, but thought I'd jump on after. Last night was Meepo here, so you're probably giving him a bit of stick or something. I don't know, maybe Roddy's right, he's not the best L finisher, is he, lads?
you take a lucky striker over a good one any day.
Yeah, well, that's what's I don't know if they're saying he gets the chances, and honestly, lads, you know how I feel about Capo all season. Like, he's unbelievable, I think. And as I said about him Bang last week, I don't know, like, understand the physicality and the defensive attributes of Mbeng, but Capo just changed the game last night. I don't know if he's watched it, but for me, Caffrey's a bit of a level above the league, in my opinion. And I hope Steve Bradley's not watching, but that's just how I feel.
I thought it was a really, really good halftime change, Baz, wasn't it? Like he was positive rather than just sitting there with what he'd said. He reassessed the situation, the man sent off, like what was required. That was an excellent change.
Yeah, I think so, Shane. And he's done that the last couple of weeks as well. And like that for like an inexperienced manager to be making those sort of decisions and getting them right. And like I'm sure you've had it as well in your earlier days coaching. Like players are looking at that as well and seeing those changes being effective. And that's where you build your kind of trust with the manager as well. And to be fair to him, so far things have worked out for Joey in those substitutions. But Evan Caffrey just brought he bought pace and power, and he was a real outlet for them as well. And so that third goal could be the one that really sends them through.
Shane, Harry Wood's performance was really impressive last night.
Yeah. I just think Caffo brought a bit of intelligence. That's like his head up is in the when he chops in off the two lads. It's not just smack the ball in the box. It's like get your head up and be composed on the ball. And that's what I think he brought to us. Like, I thought his composure was different level to what Mbeng showed. And you see Cork fans saying, oh, he's this and Mbeng is that and all. And to be honest, if I'm being honest, Mbeng did struggle to break down a Park bus, like kind of, if that's a team. But I thought Caffrey last night was...
What last night showed as well is that they can play in the same side too, I think, you know?
Yeah, well, I don't know if we said about Josh Hounahan and Evan Caffrey having a barnstormer against each other. But for me, that's what Evan Caffrey reminds me of. I don't want to say like a young Josh Hounahan because they're both the same age. But in my opinion, they're both right footed. That's in my opinion what they are, and I think Evan Caffrey is that player for us. And like Chuck on I understand why Joey went left centre half and all the rest of it, but we got away with the two goals lead in the end. Like, but for me, Caffrey is our main man this season, and I know Harry Wood got man of the match, and that's what RT gave, which is fair enough. But for me, goals, contributions, I don't know. I just think the lads is kind of a bit different gravy this season.
Shane, is it done? Is the tie over? Or are you looking at next week in Windsor Park with the wider pitch? And oh, Meepo would love that. Do you see that as a chance to stretch your legs, or is there danger here?
We've already played them, and I suppose, Cameron, if there's one player you'd want to give me a sending off, it would be Fitzpatrick. I just think he's their talisman. While Offer is a bit more of a danger man, everything goes through Fitzpatrick, in my opinion. And I heard David Healy say they won't go gung-ho last night during the interview with Tony O'Dowd, and I think that's because they can't afford it, because they don't want them to pick them off. But yeah, Fitzpatrick is the one player I would want them to be without. So if we lost 2-0 or 3-0 without him, it's like you can't cry over that, like, you know.
Yeah, listen, we'll let you get away and enjoy the rest of the race.
Hold on, wait, before I go, lads, what do you think that red card last night?
That took a lot of balls.
give me a minute, lads. It's because I bumped into Al on the way home, and like, to me, you have to watch your own surroundings, and I understand where Al's saying, oh, it's not a red card, but to me, you have to check your shoulder, and you can't make that, I don't want to say tackle because it's not a tackle, but you can't make that movement, in my opinion, without having to look over the shoulder to see where the bang is. And he doesn't go for the player, but I don't think he knows where the player is. So he gets a clear red card.
Yeah. It was like, reckless, wasn't it?
Yeah. I agree. I think it's a red card. I think it was fairly similar to the German Nani a couple of years ago against Real Madrid, getting the same thing.
Yeah.
But like you do have it, and like if there's no one around him and he takes that down, you're looking at going, that's a brilliant piece of skill to plucking it out of the air like that. But I think there's a danger with putting the foot up that high, and it's the letter of the law stuff that they're going by. So for me, it was a red card.
Yeah, and then Paddy Barrett as well. I think before I go, I think if your man heads the ball first, it's probably a red card. But it's similar to Wilson up there. I think because Barrett makes a genuine attempt to. And what the letters of the Lord is, like, people need to remember that there's VAR in these situations, and they're all having a look at it, they're all reading the laws. And I think if the striker heads the ball, or if the attacker heads the ball first, it's probably a red card for Barrett. But because Barrett makes a genuine attempt to play the ball, I think he gets a bit lucky.
Yeah, absolutely. Shane, we'll leave it there. Thanks, Emil.
Cheers, lads. Thank you.
Okay. I think that'll about do it, guys. Thank you so much for jumping on this evening, Barry.
Yeah. Cheers, Cam.
Thank you very much, Shane.
Fair play, Cameron. Sorry for making a balls your intro there by disappearing on you.
Listen, it's all right. It's all right. I didn't think your feelings were that hurt, but here we are.
No. I had a witty response where I was saying it'd be the first time I was ever top of any fucking class, but nobody got to hear it. So
no, go away. You're top of the class every week, turning up every week. So really appreciate it as always, and appreciate everyone who jumped on tonight. Sorry to the callers we did not get to. We will be back again next week, talking through the thrilling conclusion to the European qualifying campaign for Shamrock Rovers and Shelburne, as well as a very busy night again in the League of Ireland land. Loads of Women's Premier Division games to look forward to tomorrow, folks, including a top of the table clash. So defending champions Athlone Town hosting Shelburne, who are leaders at the moment. It will be a cracker of a game, 25-8 tomorrow night, as well as all the other games in the Women's Prem tomorrow evening. League of Ireland Late Night in partnership with the refreshingly alcohol-free Rockshore 00 and Off the Ball. A league of our own. Get the fact, be drink aware. Visit drinkaware.ie. We will talk to you again next week. Until then, have an incredible weekend, and we'll speak to you soon.
LOI Late Night on Off the Ball is brought to you by Rockshore 00. Refreshingly alcohol-free.
Always be drink aware. Get the facts and visit drinkaware.ie.